Yes, bonjour. How and Noah, how are you all? Hey, this is Roy Taylor, Pawnee Nation of Oklahoma, host of Indigeneity Rising, but I'm usually on Wednesday afternoon, so I'm glad to be in Studio Stronghold this afternoon on the banks of the lovely Minnehaha Creek in South Minneapolis. This is a special program where we're trying to highlight and focus on all the great, wonderful stories that the Twin Cities Native American community is involved in. And it's especially so important during this time of the age of coronavirus or COVID-19, however you want to refer to it. So we've got some great guests on this afternoon. So why don't we go ahead and get started on today's episode. I want to highlight this particular organization that has so graciously decided to participate in our open house effort this afternoon. You may have known them or heard of them in the past. They were referred to as Be Weekend. They were a economic development, personal economic development community, and other types of economic assistance that they provided to the Native American community. And now they have adopted a new name, the Minnesota Fund, here in the Twin Cities. But I know they do programming throughout the both Minneapolis and St. Paul. And so we want to, I want to acknowledge their executive director, Kit Fordham. He and I have talked about this. And so getting ready for the program. And I believe we have also with us today is that Andrea Reese, who's director of lending and programs. So I'm going to be starting off this hour talking with her. And then we're bringing in Marion Wright, Bob Rice, and the great Tall Paul. You know, I've been trying to get him on my program for some time now, so finally we were able to get him to talk about his experience at the Minnesota Fund. So let me just, let's bring up Andrea. Andrea, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Roy.
Hi. Hi. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself real quickly and tell us how you got involved with the Minnesota Fund.
Well, to tell you a little bit about myself, I am from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. I grew up in Onigam, and I really credit my values and my roots to community and family to that, to growing up on the reservation. I am the director of lending and programs for Minnesota Fund, and I got involved with them in 2012. Through the work experience program through Mille Lacs Band's Department of Labor, their WEX program. And so I've been involved with them ever since then.
Right. That's great. I thought, you know, I thought you had been around for quite some time. And just a disclaimer here, I think I took the personal, what was it called, economic development support program way back there when it originally began. So that actually attributes to the fact that then I have a bank account and a savings account going as well. So nice. Thank you for that. Okay, sure. So tell us a little bit about Minnesota Fund. As I said earlier, it was referred to as Be Weekend. Tell us a little bit about the history of this particular organization.
Yeah, so we were formerly known as Be Weekend Community Development Loan Fund. And we were actually envisioned by the American Indian Community Development Corporation, AICDC. So they had seen a need in our community for Native homeownership. And so that's really where we had started from. In 2012, that's when we received our 501c3. We have been an emerging Native CDFI, a community development financial institution, since then. And we actually just got certified last year as a certified CDFI. So that has been a long time coming. We've been super excited. And I've been super excited to now be Minnesota Fund as well.
Can you describe for us what that CDFI, I know that's an important designation. It also allows you access to different programs in various sources of funding. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I've seen that designation or that term before, but I'm not quite sure exactly what all the implications are.
Yeah, so CDFI stands for Community Development Financial Institution. And so really what we are as a CDFI is we are not a traditional bank. And so typically, if somebody were to walk into a traditional financial institution, they may be turned down right away because they might not fit those certain criteria that are required by that financial institution. And so we really exist to serve that community and that population as a native CDFI.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen that they've become very common and very, I wouldn't say popular, I guess more prevalent around Indian country as well. So a lot of tribes, a lot of urban communities are trying to get this same designation. What is it? Is there any funding associated with it then that it makes it available to you that you can tap, and particularly so in this this time of, COVID-19?
Yes. So there is a federal CDFI fund. And so through there, you're able to, as a certified CDFI, you're able to receive financial assistance, as well as technical assistance as an emerging CDFI as well. You're able to access that technical assistance to become a certified CDFI. So there are definitely programs specifically under that CDFI fund.
And I know this may be, we're going to get into this when we talk about the Minnesota fund, but you're talking about individuals that may be approaching a typical lending institution and may not qualify, as you say, under the guidelines at that particular institution, or if it's a larger body or part of a chain, I guess. So are you saying that you're dealing with and you're assisting people that are probably not at risk, but probably unable to access traditional lending and educational support when it comes to income development and income or wealth, I guess, for lack of a better word, particularly for Native American people?
Correct. Definitely. That is primarily who we target. And that's typically what we see, is we are wanting to be there for those people that are not able to access a traditional bank account. And so that's really where our programming comes in as well, and goes hand in hand with our loan products. And so pairing our education and our one-on-ones and things like that with the lending products, that is really beneficial for our organization and our community and the clients that we serve.
Right, right. Well, we're going to get into talking a little bit more about those particular products or particular programs that you have available. But how do you find then the clientele that you're serving, or do they come to you? And I'm glad we're able to talk about this here. Hopefully there are members of the Native community who are hearing about this and finding out more about it as well through this joint effort between KFEI and Minnesota Fund. But how would you typically go about finding those particular participants for the program?
So since we've started, we have always seen a very strong drive from just word of mouth, just from the community, just from friends, just from family, people who have attended a workshop. So that's typically where we see our clients from, and that's typically where they come from, as somebody who has taken a class or they've heard about it from so-and-so. And so that community aspect is really beneficial for us and really important. But otherwise, we also have started social media and things like that. So we're seeing things from all over the place.
Right. Well, that was going to be my next question, is do you have a website or URL address that people can look up? You've got a Facebook presence. And then, because we're going to talk about particular events that you may have going as well as the experience of participants in the past. But maybe you can just go ahead and tell us where you're located and ways that people can access you, either online or social media or however you want to do that, telephone, email, all of that.
For sure. So we are located on 11th and Franklin, 1113 East Franklin, in the Ancient Traders Market Building in Suite 200. So we're on the Ave in the Cultural Corridor. We definitely see a presence from our website, and that's really where we've been seeing a lot of inquiries come from, especially with all of this COVID-19 stuff going on. And so we're anything we can get from the website, that's great, especially because we're all working remotely and not in the office too much. So website, yeah. Emails, social media, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay. All right. Do you do like a needs assessment, or how would you do a needs assessment of, say, somebody has more than one need? Maybe they'd like to buy a house, but maybe what they also should be looking at is, you know, how they get that bank account ready to go, how you develop references. So how would you identify that? Is there like an intake process?
Definitely, yes. There is an intake process, and we're really identifying what people's goals are when they walk through the door. And so if it is a goal of buying a home, and that may not be viable in the next 6 months, say they want to buy a house in 6 months, not really understanding the whole process of that and what may be needed from a lending institution. So we're definitely doing that on a case-by-case basis in the intake process, and really figuring out what those steps would be for that client.
Okay. So would you take the perspective that no client is turned away? It's just a matter of trying to find out where they are in their need and what you can do to help assist them.
Definitely. And I like to say it's not if, but when. Right. So it's not if you can buy a home, or if you can start a business, or if you can reach this goal, it's when you can reach this goal. So it's really about the participants' drive and will and motivation and all of their determining factors to get there. So very client driven. But yeah, definitely. It's not if, but when.
Okay.
All right. Clients want to purchase.
Well, why don't you describe then these programs, the undertakings that the organization has, because I know we want to give a chance then to start talking to some of the participants and their successes in these particular programs. But give us an overview then of what Minnesota Fund is offering in terms of assistance to the Native community.
For sure. So like I mentioned, a lot of our programs, all of our programs really go hand in hand with education and one-on-one. So we have our home buyer program, our financial wellness program, and our business program, all of which have a education piece to them, as well as the one-on-one. Our business has technical assistance, our home buyer has advising, our financial wellness has coaching, credit coaching more specifically, or budgeting or saving, whatever that client may need, right, in that program. So those are the programs, and the kind of the two aspects of all of them is that education paired with the one-on-one coaching.
Right. And again, tell me, how long does each one of them, how long does it occur then, whatever the services are, or does it depend upon the program or the client?
So it depends on the program and the client. So our education, our business is a 12-week course, and we're actually partnered with the Neighborhood Development Center in St. Paul to offer their Planet curriculum over 12 weeks. And we do that typically twice a year. And then our homebuyer education is a one-day, eight-hour class, which we've actually moved to an online curriculum through this COVID-19 situation. And then our financial education is typically a one-day class as well, over 7 hours. Right. And then the one-on-ones go as needed. So again, because they're so client-driven, because every situation is different, it could go from 3 months to 6 months to 3 years, depending on that client and their things that they are needing to do.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I think it's the financial wellness class that I took. And then I was thinking about the home ownership at one time, but have been since been able to be successful in getting a house or a home purchase, on my own with my wife. So that's great to hear. Why don't we go ahead? And I know you know some of these participants and either very well, or at least you've seen them in the program. So why don't we go ahead? I'll go ahead and introduce them, but you can also add anything that you might have to say about them. But I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves as well. So I know we've got the financial wellness. He goes by the foreman's name or the stage name of Tall Paul. And then we have Marion Wright, I believe it is. And she was in the home ownership program. And then Bob Rice, who everybody I think knows on the Avenue, who's the owner operator of Powwow Grounds as well. So I just want to say hello to all three of you. Are you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Yeah, we've got Tall Paul. There he is. And Marion. Oh, there's Bob. Okay. And Marion. Yeah. So just let's go ahead. Since I have you on the screen here, Tall Paul, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what your experience with the financial wellness curriculum was and your experience with Minnesota Fund.
Yeah, so I first heard of them. I was just scrolling Facebook one day and I seen a post about their home buyer workshop, and I went and checked it out with my girlfriend, and it was really eye-opening because I never had any knowledge or information about the actual process of buying a house. But we were able to meet like a real estate agent there and a lot of other people within that industry that informed us of a lot of different programs and opportunities we could take advantage of. And it really made my mindset go from thinking buying a house was next to impossible to realizing I could probably do it within a year or two. So it was a really, really knowledgeable and informative experience for myself. And I was actually like ready to probably buy a house this fall until this whole COVID-19 thing impacted income and everything. But I think I'm still on track to doing that maybe fall of next year. That's kind of been my experience in a nutshell. It's just knowledge from that workshop and then from meeting with Amber on a weekly basis and checking in and setting up next steps and things like that to repair credit or whatever it might be to get closer to that goal of buying a house. You know, they've been very, very helpful.
Right. Oh, you know, Tom Paul, I should have said, why don't you say a few words of introduction about yourself? I'm sure everybody knows about you. They've been following your musical career as a hip-hop and a rap artist. But just tell us a little bit more. There may be non-natives who are listening as well and be interested in knowing more about you.
So I'm in Rodent Leash Lake. I was born and raised in Minneapolis, South Minneapolis. And I'm a hip-hop artist, as you said. I go by Tall Paul. But, yeah, born and raised in the Twin Cities here. I'm Ojibwe. I also found out I'm part Oneida a few years back. So, yeah, that's a little bit about myself. I don't know what to say more than that, really.
Well, you can plug a few of your CDs, your recordings, too. We'll do that in another show. So, let's see. I was going to ask you about this, the financial wellness. Now, you mentioned something about credit repair, and I'm just wondering about, you know, you've got a vocation that you're pursuing as a performer, but were there others in the class or the curriculum with you, or was it just all one-on-one where you guys could trade your experiences? Maybe some people have never dealt with the bank, or maybe somebody is just in a part-time job and they're trying to generate, I guess, capital so that they can create a savings account.
Yeah. So I know for the home buyer workshop and the financial wellness class, we took that in a group setting. So there are a lot of different perspectives in there, you know. I think there was one lady in there who had already owned a home before, and she was able to help us out a little bit or tell us some of her experience. But the one-on-one meetings after that, it was all basically me, my girlfriend, and Amber just meeting on a bi-weekly basis. I think we met with her once every 2 weeks. And then at the end of our meetings, we would set up next steps like, okay, this is a debt I have to pay off before our next meeting. Or we'd set that goal, you know, so we're being mindful about goal setting and having an action plan to meeting that goal before our next meeting with Amber, and that having that structure and that push of support really helped.
Oh, great. That sounds fantastic. You know, I'm going to hold that right there because I want to bring in the other two guests that are here with us. Because there may be some similarities, even though you were all in different programs, or maybe you were in one program and then advanced to another. But let's bring up Marion. Are you there, Marion? You are a participant in the home ownership program. Can you tell us a little bit about what your experience there was on that?
Sure. This is Marian. I'm also from Leech Lake.
Whoa.
Onicum. And I had recently bought a home in December of this past year, which is awesome. It's taken me about 2 years since I met Andrea. I think it was around May as well, because it was Native American Indian Month, and you guys were offering a free home buyer workshop. So I went to the class, and then I realized, hey, this could be something real that could happen. And it was pretty great. I got to work directly with Andrea there, which was awesome. She educated me on everything that I needed to know from the beginning of making getting the money, making an offer, and closing on a house. We did a lot of the training, a lot of one-on-one coaching. She also like sat with me in the office and called a lot of places that I owed money to, like old bills. And she was able to help me negotiate them. And they also helped me open up a credit line where they paid those bills for me and I paid them back what I was able to afford. So not only was I able to get that debt taken care of, I was also able to build credit while I did it, which was awesome. So I was able to get to the credit that I needed to ask for a loan. She also hooked me up with my realtor too, Frank Downwind, who was also Indigenous, which was great. And 2 years later, I got my home.
Yeah, so it sounds like you just have to be patient. As Tall Paul said, you have to have an action plan. A lot of the obstacles that we might think of in terms of home ownership, they can be overcome. It just, you need that assistance, maybe other people's experience. Then that sounds like that's been your case there as well.
Yeah, well, it was really tough.
Were you starting out with a group and then each one of you then has to pursue your own strategy, or was it all one-on-one?
It was mostly, well, the home buyer workshop was in a group, but most of the stuff that I did with Andrea was one-on-one.
Oh, okay. All right. So what would you say is the primary obstacle, at least for you, maybe for other Native people, when it comes to home ownership? Is it just lack of information? Is it the down payment? Mm-hmm. What was it for you, I guess?
I think for me, the biggest thing was credit and taking care of some old debt. When I was turned 18, I really didn't think a lot about credit. So I had a lot of bills that just kind of accumulated up until now. And I think that was my biggest thing. Plus, I worked a lot. I mean, I'm a single mom. I have two kids and I'm always working. So I really didn't have a time to worry about credit and meeting with Andrea and looking at houses and applying for, like, it just wasn't a priority to me. But when I realized, you know, how important that was for me and for my kids, it took a long time, but we got there.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Well, again, I'm going to put you on hold here. We're going to get back to you and Tall Paul, but let's bring in Bob Rice.
Hello, Roy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to see you. And I want to give you a moment at the end of the program. I think you got something you might want to mention to us as well. That's tomorrow. But go ahead. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Again, I know people who may be listening or watching on Facebook Live probably know you and, having seen you around the powwow grounds there on the avenue, but also the Sisters Market, the Four Sisters Market there in the summertime. But go ahead, tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you got into, particularly as an entrepreneur here.
Okay. Well, my name is Robert Rice. I grew up on the north side of Minneapolis. I am a White Earth band member, but all my family comes from Leech Lake, Onigum. let's see. So, like I said, I grew up on the north side. I worked in the casino business for approximately 18 years, got sick of it. I opened a coffee shop on the north side and got hit by a tornado and lost everything. And at the same time, I was opening a shop here on the south side, Powwow Grounds. And that was in 2011. And struggled mightily to keep going. But we managed, perseverance is the key. struggle, but finally started coming around. I was going to get a food truck this year, but as things happen, we have to put those plans on hold.
Yeah, just for a short while. So what were some of those struggles that you were encountering then as a small business owner?
You know, funding, you know, doing everything, training, you know, just trying to manage everything, you know.
Yeah, just the basics of running a business, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to it. A lot more than, you know, a lot more than I thought. You know?
Right. Right, than making the wild rice parfaits or handing out cups of coffee, I suppose, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the fun part.
Well, and I like to play with food, so, you know. We make up different things, and I'm a wild rice harvester, so we got to have wild rice in our stuff. That's where you get the wild rice parfait, the wild rice quiches, the wild rice blueberry muffins. You know, I feel like Bubba Gump, you know.
And I understand that now that I've been reading a lot about food services, whether they be restaurants or coffee shops, bars, whatever, including food trucks, they run on very thin profit margins. To begin with. So I'm sure this coronavirus has been a real challenge, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, when that happens, we got to get creative.
Yeah.
And so a couple of years ago, probably 3 years ago, I found an old fry bread recipe on the internet. But it was just a plain fry bread recipe, and I just messed with it and changed it and added my own touch. It turned out pretty good.
Well, what was at least from the any coursework or any consulting with the staff there, what was something that you took away from this that really has been helpful in operating your own business there? Something maybe that you didn't know before you actually accessed their services?
Well, I went through their small business training and, to write a business plan. And that the second time I went through a course about it, you know, there's stuff you miss. And that was helpful as far as trying to get everything organized, you know, because you don't think of all the stuff that you're going to need to open a business. I mean, there's quite a bit of an expense that happens. You know, you think you can just do it with so much money, but it's a lot more than you think. And to try to get money from banks is like pulling teeth, you know. It was very difficult. I mean, the first business is where I really had a tough time. You know, you got to remember, I try to open businesses when we're under, you know, downturns. 2009 is when I opened the other coffee shop.
Oh, I see.
That was during our struggle, you know, with the downturn of the economy.
Right. Yeah, I recall that. Yeah. That's okay there. So let's get all three of you back on the on the call here.
That's mine.
The Zoom link. So just tell us, you know, what do you have to say, I guess, positive about the staff or the programs or this effort? Because as far as I know, it may not have existed before all three of you we're having or exhibiting a particular interest or a particular need. Is there one of you that wants to start there? I mean, we've already talked a little bit about the one-on-one service, but anything else? I mean, were there like books that they allowed you to take home, websites that they clued you in on, that opportunity to just spend some time with maybe...
They've helped me with building a website. It's not up and going yet, but it looks pretty nice at this point. I've got financial aid from, now it's Minnesota Fund, but they've been very helpful in many steps to my operations. In fact, we're going to start working on another business plan for the food truck. But that had to be put on hold. I'm pretty much making fry bread every day now. And really it's saving my business, if it wasn't for that and the, financial assistance, I don't know if I could make it through this period, because margins are slim.
Well, Marion or Tall Paul, maybe it's that old saying about, I wish I had known then what I now know now. So what is it that you started out with that you didn't know that you were able to acquire through the Minnesota Fund that has really been helpful in making you successful in what you're trying to approach? Do you have a story or an example of that?
I feel like I really didn't know a lot about the home buying process at all. So really everything has been helpful knowledge, such as like the deferred loan programs and things like that that you told us about. I know there was one loan she mentioned where we would be able to borrow down payment money and then not have to pay it back until the house was paid off, something like that, which was like pretty cool to know. It's cool to know that that's an option. And then there's a land trust. There's land trusts out there where you can buy houses, and I think it's something like you own the house, but the trust owns the land and it keeps it in that family of land trust for when you want to move out of that house, the house stays affordable for the next person in the land trust to be able to purchase it. Basically, it's a way for people to be able to buy houses at a lower price. I know the one from Minneapolis, they're talking about they help with up to like $50,000 on the down payment.
Wow.
And so that's like amazing, right? And you can get a house up to like $250,000 or something like that. So you basically be paying $200,000 for a $250,000 house. And the only catch is that you don't get to like completely own the house, but it's still a very affordable way to become a homeowner. So that's another option out there. So those were two things that I learned about that really caught my attention. And there's a lot more than that too. I just can't think of it all.
Right. Well, that's a wealth of information. How about you, Marion? Anything that you didn't know before you started, but now has been really crucial, particularly purchasing that house, finding your own home?
Sure. I do want to say thank you. Like I really don't know if I don't think that I would have been able to get as far as I did, like without the support that I got from the Minnesota Fund. Like not only were they able to get me help with getting all my debt taken care of, building my credit, they were also able to find me some funding by being a Leech Laker. They were also able to get me connected to some additional funding for first-time home buying. And I was able to close on my house with zero money in hand, which was awesome. So I, for anybody who is trying to get connected with them and thinking about purchasing a home, it can happen. You can do it. And just stick with it, even though it gets stressful. It took me 2 years. I've even gotten to a point where I was like, I'm so done with this. and it took a really good conversation with Andrea, with City of Lakes and with my realtor to say, that's okay. Like it can be frustrating. It's going to be hard. And it ended up happening. So just think, keep going forward with it, keep working on it. And thank you guys.
No, great. That's a great story. All great examples from each of you, but I want to go back to, Andrea, and just ask her how it feels to hear these stories. Maybe, I know you've been close to the programs and the participants, but this has been great information, especially what all of them has shared from their unique perspective.
So yes, I just want to say how proud I am of Marion, and a lot of our other clients too that have been wanting to purchase a home. There are clients that hit these walls, and they just feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not going to get there. And some people really do. They stop trying. And Marion did it. She was very persistent. And I'm so glad to see her reach her goal of buying that house and being able to work with her through all of that. So I'm very, very proud of you, Marianne. Good job. Congratulations. And then disclaimer, I just want to say too, I only picked one of these Leech Lakers. I didn't pick anything.
I was going to say, when we came back from the announcement, welcome to the center of the universe with all these Leech Lakers here.
I only picked one. I only picked one. But I also do want to mention one of the programs that we had early on, which we unfortunately don't offer anymore, is our individual development savings account program, our IDA program, which is what Marianne was talking about. She was able to enroll in that program early on and was able to access some savings match funds through there. And in that program, Leech Lake committed $10,000. So they committed $2,000 to five band members to purchase a home. And so she was able to save a certain amount of money. And then we were able to match that with the Leech Lake funds through that program. And again, like I said, unfortunately, it's not a program we offer any longer, but it's definitely something that was very well utilized while we did offer it.
Oh, that's great. You know, just looking at my own experience, just being able to purchase a home. Well, before I make a comment about that, your first statement about, you know, there's a lot of people that run into these obstacles, Native people I'm talking about. And I think because of a combination of maybe historic trauma, lack of opportunity, you know, outright prejudice and discrimination, I think that message is planted, or it's attempted to be planted in us, that, you know, these are obstacles that are insurmountable. You can't overcome them. And I know I've lived long enough now. That's the message I keep trying to provide or extend to younger Native people, is that, no, you can. You can overcome it. It's just going to take some effort, some knowledge, some assistance from other Native people or in the community, and keeping your eye on that goal. So whether it's education, some individuals, unfortunately, may have to be dealing with a substance abuse problem, but that can be overcome. And these programs, it strikes me, if you've got that dream, if you've got that as a goal, whether it's small business ownership, or developing your own personal wealth to be able to use and however you wish. I know, like with Tall Paul, he's, you know, pursuing an arts career. But with Marianne, she wants a home of her own for her children. You know, those are all worthy goals, and they can be achieved. And now we've got some of the resources available, and we've got individuals who are well-schooled or well-educated on how to pursue that. But I could tell you just from my own experience, with my wife and I, when we were looking at attempting to buy a home over 20 years ago, one decision, one little trick that we did was we didn't buy beyond our means. Mm-hmm. And so we also made sure that we could afford a mortgage just based on one of our incomes. And we chose her income because it was more steady. Mine, obviously, in performing arts, you know, it goes up and down throughout a calendar year, or so-called fiscal year. So we just wanted to make sure that if we were ever in a home ownership circumstance, if my income was very low for a particular period in the year, that wouldn't affect potentially getting evicted or the mortgage foreclosed on. And so we've been successful at that. Those are little tricks then that people don't know about and they're not always told. We did make a very big down payment, about one-fifth of the total cost of the house. So we had to save. But again, it was that idea that we pretty much lived on her income or revenue that was coming into the family. And then we used mine for discretionary spending. And we were doing pretty well at that time. So we really benefited from a booming economy, and we were able to put some money away. I guess that's one of the questions I have. I know for when I was younger, and maybe Marianne and some others have alluded to this, it's really hard to save. What is the motivation, and how can you find ways to save on a monthly basis so that it begins to build up? And I'm trying to remember that term they use in the financial wellness curriculum, where it becomes, it's almost like COVID-19. You know, all it takes is one little microbe, and then it exponentially grows. So when you talk about savings accounts, you know, you start out with a small amount put in on a regular basis, And then before you know, within 10 years, you know, you've got quite a bit of savings there. So how are there any tricks to that, Andrea? And maybe any of you others that you have some ideas about that, how you save?
So the savings, I know one of the ways that we try to use with our clients is like SMART goals, right? So having specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely goals for them. And again, like I cannot speak this enough that all of this is very client driven. And so depending on that client and what they want to achieve, you know, that's when we're thinking about, okay, do you need to open a savings account? Because a lot of what we see is savings is definitely hard for anyone. And especially like with everything that's going on. But I think for them to really be thinking about those goals, and even if it's a very minimal amount, for them to be able to put away, seeing that grow over time is definitely a motivator for them.
Mm-hmm. And how about, you know, all of this, I think in some ways is predicated or based upon an income. So whether we're a performer like Tall Paul, or whether we're, I don't recall what Marion said that she was employed in, but Bob has been a small business owner. So how do you work with other organizations within the community to help provide those kind of skill training that will result in an income that will then result in home ownership or savings or business ownership?
So we have partnered with and had a memorandum of understanding or memorandum of agreement with OIC. So being able to work with their clients as well through their SOAR build programs. So they're already going through those workforce development training programs and then able to go through a financial wellness class or a home buyer class and say, oh, these are goals that I want to accomplish. And so they're starting from maybe a different program and really looking at increasing income or obtaining that steady income and then looking at further right. buying a home in the future.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to, in the time we have remaining, thank you, Andrea. If there's anything that you want to share, either specifically or maybe from your own experience, or, you know, just a word of encouragement then to other Native people who may be considering this, and what the, you know, whether it's home ownership, business ownership, or interacting with, what are you, banks. You know, one thing we didn't talk about that I've had to learn about are taxes. Wow, those are really important. As an arts performer, you know, you've got to make these quarterly tax payments, or at least save a little for those, or make up for it at the end of the tax year. Now, this year we're also under COVID-19. We've been given a little leeway. I don't think the filing is until this summer. I think in July for an annual tax. But any of you have any experience in any of that savings, taxes? I know Bob has a specific circumstance with business ownership, but any of the three of you want to add in on all of those?
So, taxes. One thing I do, and that I've learned more and more as the years go by, I pick up different tools. A few years ago, I started tracking my mileage, which I should have been doing before that.
Right.
A couple years ago, I started deducting my home office space that I use for making music and doing business meetings and things like that. So those were some tools that I learned as far as taxes go. And it got me to a point where I think for the past 2 years, I haven't had to pay in now. And whereas before I was paying in thousands of dollars. So mm-hmm. just that some simple knowledge like that can go a long way toward saving you some money. So definitely if like you're self-employed or if your job allows you to track business mileage, do that. Deduct everything you can, you know, like right now, I got a tax specialist who specializes in helping small business owners and independent contractors. So she's opened my eyes to the fact that for every gig I do on all business day travels, I get a $50 per diem per day. And right. I was able to deduct that for about, I think, 50 dates that I was doing shows last year. She did my home office deductions and everything, and the percentage of utilities from your house that get deducted under that. So that's helpful knowledge. And again, like it led to me being able to get a little bit of money back instead of having to pay in every year.
Right.
And I know Andrea mentioned the SMART goals thing. That was eye-opening for me as well, just to be able to put it on paper, because the general idea of it, you don't think it's that difficult to really think about saving for different goals. But after you put it on paper, it makes it more real, I guess. And when I first did it, I had like 5-10 different things on my SMART goals, which was a little unrealistic considering my income at the time. So when I brought it back to Amber, she kind of coached me on it. And I realized, like, maybe I should only be saving for a house right now. Like, I don't need to save for a vacation that can hold on, you know, like I can do that as a reward after I buy a house or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know? Rather than spending my money on a car or something that loses value right away, you know, like I can just kind of drive the car I got right now and not buy clothes as much, you know, just simple things like that really help you to save money. And right now my only saving goal is owning a home, and I'm not going to really save for anything else until I get that house, you know? So those are a couple of things that were really helpful for me.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's great to know.
One thing I want to mention about taxes too is as we see a lot of people utilizing those paid services, right? So H&R Block, Jackson Hewitt, Tax Liberty. So all of those paid services, we see a lot of our community members utilizing when we're qualified to utilize free tax services, right? Where we would see that return or that refund just the same as an H&R Block or something like that. And so that could really save you some money as well when you're utilizing those free services and know those resources. You're not having to pay somebody to do something like that for you when you can definitely utilize them for free.
Right. I know, Bob, you've got an event tomorrow, don't you? You want to mention that?
Sure, I'll plug myself. So tomorrow is Tuesday, and on Tuesdays and Saturdays, we've been experimenting with the fry bread. And so tomorrow is going to be a Philly cheesesteak with buffalo meat. I make my own cheese sauce, fry bread, vegetables, saute everything, and put it together at the shop. And tomorrow is when we're going to be doing the buffalo. So right now I'm in the process of cooking that buffalo.
Yeah, long and slow, or low and slow.
Low and slow.
Yeah. Okay, Marion, anything else? Take that home deduction, that homeowner's deduction on your taxes.
Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten that too cleared up yet, but I did get my estimate for my taxes for the year, and I was kind of worried about it because I thought it was going to be like a few $100. And when I heard that, I thought it was going to be monthly, but it's actually spread out through the year. So I'm still paying less than I was paying for rent for the last 6 years before I bought. So,
oh, that's good news. Great. That's great news. Well, listen, all three of you, including Andrea, have been a great inspiration, great stories coming out of this wonderful work that Minnesota Fund is undertaking for and with and on behalf of the Native community. So I want to thank all of you for coming on this afternoon and sharing with us your experiences here on KFBI. So with that, I want to just thank my guests, Andrea Reese and Marion Wright, Tall Paul, and Robert Bob Rice for their time here this afternoon.